have Andrew Zimmo. He's going to come and bring us the word today. We love you, Andrew. Why don't you hop on up and let's all hop up and bless him. And thank you.
The light needs to be on. Thanks, Dan. Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you to the worship team for this morning. It's just such a beautiful time in the presence of the Lord. We appreciate you. Dan, did you write that song about resurrection? Dan Campy, did he write that song? Lila May is saying, no, Dad's not that good. He changed it. Yeah, it just felt like it was coming from Dan's heart. And thank you, worship team. We got to celebrate last night. The worship team got to have a little bit of fun together. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful community and presence amongst the worship team, the creative team. So again, thank you to all of the creative team for all your efforts and heart. And you have a little bit of rest, and then you're going to need to get ready for a takeoff in 2024. Yes. So what an amazing year 2023 has been. I know today is not a sum up of the year. We will probably do that a little bit later, but it is good to reflect, and it feels like the Christmas slippery slide has started slipping. The gravy has started to flow. So it's good for us to actually take some time to reflect, and it's been an incredible year, 2023. It's been a big year. Just put your hand on your body and just feel the growth. You know, you have grown. You have grown. Some of us have grown spiritually. Hey, come on. The Bible encourages us to get into the fat. It's actually a godly thing. I'm not preaching on that today. But it actually says it's the fat of the anointing that breaks the yoke. You will grow so fat that you will snap every restraint. So this is a good word, Andrew, coming into Christmas. But I'm actually not talking about that today. I'm talking about running today. Running, you shall walk and not get weary. You shall run and not faint. So I'm not talking about fat. I'm talking about running and walking today. And the title of today's sermon is Traveling at the Speed of Relationship. So we'll jump into that. Thank you, James, for sharing today. I just love hearing testimonies about obedience and how quickly the Lord responds to obedience. It's incredible. He challenges us to do things, and then we do them out of faith. Sometimes we feel reckless. And you know, there's real wisdom without giving. If I can just make a little comment, a little bit of wisdom here. It's important to give out of what you have control over. What's under your stewardship. I can't give what's not mine to give. Or else I'm borrowing to give. And we can see in the Bible when the Lord really doesn't like that. It's a couple of stories. But what is the offering that the Lord receives is the offering that comes out of what you steward. It's what you steward. So have a reflection. Often the Lord is not wanting us to give more. He's wanting us to give better. And giving better is really listening and tuning in to what his heartbeat is for us. What is his heartbeat? And So if I can encourage you, don't give what's not yours. Don't give what's not yours. It's not an offering. You can only give what is put into your hands. And really, ultimately, nothing really is ours, right? Because on your deathbed, no one ever says, jingies, I should have done more overtime. I should have worked those extra couple of hours every day. I should have... No one ever says that. What do they say? You know, I wished I'd had more time with family. So priority is time. Time is a resource you have. Did you know that? Every day, the Lord puts time in your hands and your heart. You're stewarding that. How you give that to the Lord is important. You can't give what's not yours. I'll leave that with you. And that might be a piece for someone just to be released from feeling like you have to give more than what the Lord's asking you to give. Okay, well, Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are here. Yeah. That as we've been hearing and listening and singing and participating today in your presence, Lord, you are here in the midst of us, and we acknowledge you, precious Holy Spirit. We ask that you would cause the word to become life into our hearts today, and that we may see the face of Jesus more and more, and that we may fall in love with you and with each other more and more, more than yesterday, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're going to talk about speed today. Jump to Genesis 1. And the young adults have been learning about the law of first mention. Any of the young adults want to jump up and, is there a mic? Anyone of the young adults want to jump up and explain what is the law of first mention? Is there a mic? Spare mic? Oh, this one, there is one. All right, who wants to explain? Come on. Stand up and tell everyone, what is the law of first mention when it comes to the Bible?
When a word is first mentioned in the Bible. I think that's the best way to describe it.
Give us an example.
When the word love is first used in the Bible.
Right. And so you would find it.
Yep.
And the law of first mention means, like, you can get more juice out of it, or what?
Oh. Like the definition,
yes,
the meaning of
more
it.
More understanding.
Yeah.
Cool. Have you used it in your study?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Is it working?
Yes.
It's good.
I love the Blue Letter Bible app.
Blue Letter Bible
app.
Use
it. It's good.
Thank you so much, Karma. We have had our fortnightly Wednesday night meetings. Big plug for the young adults in the house. They're doing amazing. Their hunger for the word is growing. And we played... not Where's Wally, but Where's Jesus in the Old Testament on last Wednesday night. And we were amazed, hey guys, that Jesus, as Rory has taught us, the Old Testament, Jesus is concealed. In the New Testament, Jesus is revealed. And the idea that the Old Testament doesn't matter, we smashed that on Wednesday night because these guys were finding Jesus all over the Old Testament. It's like every story, every picture is like, oh my gosh, he's there again. It's like Jesus. So let's look at Genesis 1:1. And I saw on the internet a few weeks back, and I can't share it with you today, but I'll post it somehow. A scenario where an atheist and a creationist are in a debate, and the question from the atheist team to the creationist team was, can you please just explain to us who created God? You've got 5 minutes. Go. And the creationist man who got up to speak was profound. It's one of the most amazing answers I've ever heard to who created God. And he said, I don't need the full time because it's very simple. He said, let me take you to the first 10 words in the Bible, Those first 10 words describe everything we need to know about who created God. And that is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He said, the answer is there. Let me explain. He said, it's a trinity of trinities. God created heavens, which is space. And we know that in space there is a trinity within space, within the heavens. He created the earth, which is matter. And he created, it says, in the beginning is time. So time, space, and matter. And within those, within time, we have past, present, future, one trinity. On the earth, we have solid, liquid, gas. This is like a science lesson. And then in terms of space, the heavens, we have height, width, and depth. It's a trinity of trinities. And it says, in the beginning, God created those. And because he created all those things, he is existing outside of those things. And if he says, with a jab to the evolutionists, the God that you worship, you want to live with inside your brain. I struggle with that. The God I worship is outside of your brain and my brain. And if I have to limit God to the size of my brain, then he's not worth worshiping. So the answer to your question is that no one created God. He is the uncreated one. Full stop. Sit down. Next question. I did a pretty poor job of that. You need to watch it, because he did that like within, he does it in like 30 seconds. A trinity of trinities. And so this is what we would call the natural order. God has created the natural order, and he has created us in that order because we exist in time, at a certain time. We are solid. We have liquids, and I'm sure there's gas every now and then. And you're a certain height. There is a measurement. What are the first thing that the medical system will do when you're born? Measure you. It's almost like, I don't know, it's just like something possesses the medical system when you're born. It's like, get the measuring tape, get the measuring tape. Where's the measuring tape? I lost it. What? What time? What time? What was the time they were born? 11:17. How long? You know? I still remember the sonographer measuring Abby inside Mia's tummy saying, whoa, she's got long legs. Oh, very long. Very, in fact, fascinated with measuring, just intoxicated with measurement. And that's the world that we live in. And so we are in the world, but we are not of the world, because there's a part of you that's being created by the Creator that is not limited to the Trinity of Trinities. There is a part of you that lives and exists outside of time. There's a part of you that is not limited to the natural realm, to the solid or the liquid. And there is a part of you that is connected to your heart, that is, the Bible says, he has placed eternity, the limitlessness of him, he's placed inside the human heart. Everyone say the human heart. The human heart. So in the beginning, God creates the heavens and the earth. Let me ask you the question. What is the fastest known thing in the universe? A toddler with a lolly. Pshung. Where's Matilda? Pshung. Where's Ollie? Pshung. Very humorous. Danny, yes. The speed of light. The speed of light is the fastest particle, item, thing in the universe, and it travels at a mind-blowing 300 million meters per second. So Genesis 3, when it says, then God said, let there be light, he created light, but you know, there is something faster than light, and that is God. God, if he chooses to, can move really quickly. And often in our impatience, we're frustrated with this truth because we know that he can move faster than lightning because he is light. John says that he is the light of the world. He created the natural manifestation of light, but he is light. And God is faster than light. So Jesus is the perfect version of you. He's the perfect version of me. Jesus is perfect humanity. Perfect God and perfect humanity. And it says, in the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the speed of light. There is another speed, and in that verse 3, it says, then God said, the speed of sound. Do you know how fast the speed of sound is? Toddlers are just faster than that speed of sound. It's like, I cannot hear you. I am sonic booming ahead of your voice, and I cannot hear you. So, does anyone know the speed of sound? Yes, 333 meters per second. So just to help you, light is 10,000 times faster than sound. So at the speed at which you're hearing my voice from the amplifier to your ear, light is 10,000 times faster than that. And God is faster than that. And he exists outside of time. So he can be anywhere he wants at any time, faster than you can even imagine. And yet he chooses to sit on a throne. I guess because he's everywhere, he doesn't have to run around like us. So he can be anywhere. And Psalm 139 speaks to that. Where can I go to escape from you, Lord? So, sound is still pretty fast. Like, light is fast, but sound is fast. When did we break the sound barrier? I think historians, did humans broke the sound barrier in the last 100 years, I think. Any reference? I'm Googling the church right now. Come on. 1950s? What was it? Was it a land? It was a plane? X-wing? X1. Daniel, you're the X1. So something happens when we go faster than sound, and it's called a sonic boom. It's incredible. Sonic boom. So what I want to talk to you about is a thought that I've been meditating on for a couple of weeks now. I can't stop thinking about it. And I've said it within my heart a couple of times, but I'll try and share it with you how the Lord spoke it to me. And you can interpret this, but the Lord said to me, Andrew, I have the capacity to travel faster than the speed of light, at the speed of my voice, things are created, but I choose to travel with you at the speed of relationship. God has the capacity to travel at a speed that I cannot comprehend, but he chooses to slow down. He chooses to slow down to a speed that facilitates and supports relationship. I just can't stop thinking about this. Like the why? Like, who's fast on the planet right now? Shoo! Danny Bliss! You know, it's like Daniel Bliss gets so enthralled with snails that he wants to become a snailologist. And he chooses to slow down at the speed of a snail because he wants to study and learn and maybe even have a connection. Because he is caught up in the wonder and the wow of the snail that something can move so slow. And yet, Dan has to leave little snail and says, I've just got to go to training. So, illustration. What is it in God's mind and heart that he makes the choice to slow down, to travel with you at the speed of relationship? And there's some things, some truth here that I'm hoping to unpack here so that we might choose to slow down to that pace. Yeah. Okay, let's go to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 3. And I want to really get the word home today that God is not slow. God is fast, but he chooses to slow down on purpose. I think it's one of my favorite quotes of Rory. I will never forget. God takes a long time to move quickly. Just love that. God takes a long time to do a suddenly. The nature of God, but it's because he has a capacity to move at such ridiculous speed that we can become familiar with him and not his power. We should never become familiar with the power of God. In fact, it is the fear of the Lord in Psalm 25 that says that he shares his secrets. Psalm 25, 14. He shares his secrets with those who fear the Lord. And the Hebrew is secret counsel, secret knowledge. And that's one of the keys or one of the secrets as to why the Lord travels with us at the speed of relationship. Let's have a look here in 1 Kings 3. And this is the story of Solomon. And Solomon is a young man who has been appointed and anointed to become the king of Israel. And he's got his dad's shoes to fill, and he's feeling pretty insecure. He's feeling pretty underqualified, underprepared for a huge task. And he goes up to Gibeon, and it says that he offered like a lot of sacrifices. Verse 4, it says that Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar. Wow. It's a lot of offerings. But it's important to know context when we're reading the Bible. So just before he goes to sleep, he offers 1,000 burnt offerings. He goes to sleep, and the Lord appears to him, verse 5, in a dream, and says to him, "Ask whatever you wish, and I shall give it to you." It's the genie and the lamp moment. You can ask whatever you wish, and you can have it. So Solomon responds to the Lord with a prayer and says, "You've been so merciful to your servant David, my father, because he walked with you in truth and righteousness." I want you to underline the word "he walked." David, he walked. He walked. We're going to come back to that in a minute, because there's a speed of relationship that is not a race or a run or a sprint. It's actually a walk. It's a walk. "He walked before you in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart, and you have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on the throne, as it is this day. Now, O Lord, you have made your servant king instead of my father, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or to come in." Highlight that. Does anybody feel at any point in your life you don't know where to go, you don't know how to come in, you don't know where to go out, you don't know where the off-ramp is, you don't know where the on-ramp is? Am I on the right road? Where am I? Anybody? I'm not looking. Two hands. A foot. So Solomon expresses a dependency and a fragility and a vulnerability to basically say, "I can't do it. I can't do it. And your servant is in the midst of your people with whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted." Verse 9, "Therefore give to me, your servant, an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between what is good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" This speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked for this. And then God said to him, "Because you have asked for this and not asked for all the things that I knew humanity would love to have, I'm going to throw them in as a bonus. Because you asked for the thing that was most important, so therefore you get all of it." We often think that Solomon asked for wisdom. Is that what he prayed there? Interesting. I think it's a little bit more to unpack. He actually says, "Give me a wise and discerning heart that I may understand how to govern what you've put into my charge." You can recraft this as a prayer for you. "Lord, give me a wise and discerning heart to govern, to adjudicate, to make decisions between what's right and wrong on a daily basis. Give me a heart that is wise and discerning." Put your hand on your heart and just say, "Lord, give to me a wise and discerning heart to govern between what is right and wrong, and to govern what you have called me to steward." He could have easily asked for all the money in the world, all the riches in the world, all the fame in the world, but what he asks for is a wise and discerning heart. God gives him a wise and a discerning heart, and the Lord says, and we read it, Proverbs is just an outlet of that whole answered prayer of the life of Solomon. It's just this gushing fountain of wisdom, understanding. But here's the key here. Right in the middle of this prayer is a word, heart. It's actually heart. Give me a wise and discerning emphasis on the word heart. King David had a heart after God's heart. Another way of saying it is the rhythm of David's heart was aligned to the rhythm of God's heart. Some of you creative people could come up with a word like arrhythmia, I think is a... Arrhythmia means something to do with the heart. Cardio, arrhythmia, the beat, the rhythm. Yahweh, arrhythmia, I don't know. The heartbeat of God. So let's just look at the heart, just the human heart, which is a picture of our spiritual heart. It actually has a rhythm that it works with. You have a rhythm that is called your resting heart rhythm. So your heart, the lowest rhythm that it goes to, the amount of beats per minute, it's at its lowest when you are at your greatest level of rest. When you go into rest, which is in your sleep time, is where your heart goes to such a low beat per minute. But your awake resting heart rate is, you on an average level, is around 60 beats per minute. 60 beats per minute, which is one beat per second. So one beat per second. Your heart has a, that's the rate. If you want to put walking at the speed of relationship into something quantifiable, it's about one beat per second. If our drummers were up, they could actually put that timing out and it would line up with that beat. Isn't it interesting that we were not created or designed to function at our best at 200 beats? You have the capacity. Everyone say, I have the capacity to have a heart rate that is much higher than I have right now in my resting heart rate. When you're running, when you're sprinting, if we were talking to Dan right now, and he's in his 400-meter sprint, it's very hard for him to have a conversation with his running buddy and go, how are you going? What did you get up to on the weekend? And have a conversation. How hard would that be, Dan? Impossible. You might get one word out. One beat per second. 60 beats per minute. And I looked up what is a walking pace. If I was to walk at a walking pace, what would be that rate? And it's about half a meter per second. Half a meter per second is considered a slow and gentle walking pace, which is slower than a resting heart rate. And when I'm walking with somebody at that speed or that rate is the most ideal time for you to listen and have a conversation, to listen and have a conversation and to commune and fellowship at that pace. How are you going with the speed of your life? Are you in the fast lane? Are you on the autobahn of your life where there is no limit to the speed? Drive it as fast as you think is safe. Have you been on the Autobahn, Paula? How fast did you get on the Autobahn? 160 kilometers per hour? 360? Speed of light? Speed of sound? Did it feel good? Okay, no, it doesn't feel good. Who enjoys going fast? I mean, this is not a trick question. I think humanity, we have a need for speed. And our mums particularly love that need for speed when it comes to cleaning up after ourselves. I have a need for speed, young man. It's not, I need you to speed up. And then the young man says, I can, that speed only really works in computer games. It doesn't translate into mopping, vacuuming, washing the dishes. Doesn't it? It's impossible. We're going to break that in 2024. We're going to break that myth. Mythbusters. So what happens at the speed of relationship when it comes to the Lord is that He then has the ability to transfer to you, because He can teach you and you can listen, you can receive, and you can give from your heart in the speed of relationship. And this is what you were designed for, because God slows down to this pace on purpose. Interesting that Jesus didn't come in the era of Teslas on the planet. He came in the era of time when walking from A to B was the way to go. The only time He chooses to do a different type of traveling experience is to fulfill the prophecy that He comes on a donkey. And donkeys aren't the fastest animal on the planet. Just plodding along. He chooses to slow down to the speed of relationship on purpose in order that our hearts can receive from Him. In economics, there is, in the world system, the Babylonian system, economics, right now, there's been this huge move for multinationalism and globalization. And here is what the world is fixed on. Get it done faster and get it done cheaper. That's what we want. Get it done faster and get it done cheaper. We want more of that. But God says, I ain't into that. I want to slow it down, and I want to add value. But because we live in this world, we have become very much influenced by that need for speed, and to get it cheaper, and to get it done faster and cheaper as possible. In fact, that is not the heart of God at all. He's into quality, and He's into taking His time. So just put your hand on your heart. You are His workmanship. He's like, I'm going to need about 70 to 80 years on this thing. Just for starters. And then I think eternity will be a good enough time to just unpack that together. Hopefully they'll learn something in that time. Hopefully they'll slow down to walk with me. Ooh. You know, there's something when you're in the garden working, and I'm talking to probably all the green thumbs, when you're in the garden and you're doing hedging and trimming, there's something amazing about slowing down in the garden, right? It actually is the pace of relationship. It's faster than the speed of growth, because the grass takes about 2 weeks to get long enough for me to cut it. But when you get out there and you start trimming and you start attending to the garden, to the plants, that is the rhythm of relationship. That is the speed of relationship. Everyone go, ah. So here's what the Lord said to me, because I was blown out. Like, Andrew, I can travel. I have the capacity to travel at the speed of light, but I'm choosing to slow down to the speed of relationship with you. So that, everyone say it, so that relationship can happen. Once you're in relationship and you've had that time, guess what happens? He begins to send you out at a speed you weren't operating at before. Things begin to happen faster than you could have done it in your own capacity. But now instead of just running like a headless chook, you're now running with wisdom. The Lord wants you to run with wisdom. Anyone up for that? That you would be effective in more with less. I prophesy over you, 2024 is going to be about doing more with less because you're traveling at the speed of relationship with the Lord. Now, I have to confess, I'm traveling way too fast in my life. And when I had to talk to Mia, my beautiful wife, I said, honey, I'm going to share something with you. I do not want this to be held in the court of law. That will be used later against me. And I said, I really want you to just hear my heart on this. I've been running too fast. And she chuckled and laughed and immediately responded as if like, duh. And she caught herself and she said, you know, after she stops laughing, this is a really great revelation. Do you want to please explain? Share more. But you know what? I just want to share this. I feel like the Lord wants me to slow down because he wants to have greater relationship in my life. Doesn't mean that I'm not going to be effective. But the Lord wants to emphasize that relationship is more important than ministry. Relationship is more important than what you do, what I do. And my value and my worth is not in what I do, but it's in whom I'm connected with. And in this situation, my wife, apart from the Lord, is the relationship that I need to have a pace of relationship with so that we can have a relationship. So that we can be together. I can hear her heart. I cannot hear Mia's heart running at a million miles an hour. So we have to pull over, jump into the slow lane, and not just live life in the fast lane. It's very quiet. So this is really pertinent in our relationship with the Lord. I think this is priority. I think this is such a priority. In fact, he said, 6 days a week you should work, but one day I'm gonna pull you up for something called rest, which was a what? A purpose-filled break, B-R-E-A-K, and a purpose-filled break, B-R-A-K-E, to slow down. Why? Come back to the rhythm of relationship. Come back to the speed of relationship. Remember, Deuteronomy 8 says, remember it's the Lord who gave you the ability to make wealth. Just look at your hands and say it. The Lord has given me the ability to make wealth. He's blessed these hands to make wealth. But something happens when you put those hands into the hands of the one who is faster than the speed of light and choose to walk with him at the speed of relationship. And that's what I think is the longing of the heart of our God, that we would come back to the garden. That's the rhythm of Eden. That was his intention. It's almost like he's saying, if you have a full day of rest, your rhythm of 6 days, you're going to be so productive. You're going to be so tanked up with wisdom. You're going to know where the enemy is on the battlefield before the battle even starts. Because you would have had wisdom, you would have had understanding, you would have had an inclining heart. And the fear of the Lord is the starting point of wisdom. I think part of the fear of the Lord is slowing down. Slowing down to acknowledge Him. We don't make good decisions at the speed of light, at a fast, fast pace. In fact, part of getting older means we get slower. Have you noticed that? And there should be a correlation with wisdom. I'm not saying it's always there. But there should be a correlation with slowing down and wisdom. If you can get that today, particularly for our young ones, don't not be enthusiastic. Don't not be pinging around like a ping pong ball. But get wisdom. Slow down and get the wisdom. You're going to make better decisions. The Lord was very specific, Jesus was very specific against an enemy to the human heart, which was anxiety. He said, be anxious for nothing. And what happens if you put a heart rate monitor on and you begin to have anxious thoughts? What begins to happen? The pace begins to increase. So anxiety puts us into a state where it's very difficult for us to absorb or learn. Am I talking to anyone today? So at Rivers Apostolic Center, may we become a people who can travel at the speed of relationship with the Lord and with each other. If we can do that, I think we will be in a much better position, like King Solomon, to govern the increase that's coming in both finances and in people. If we can't walk and work at the speed of relationship with the Lord, we are not going to do very well with increase, because we will be foolish and we will miss what the Lord wants to do. So I think it's practice for us, training for reigning. And you can't, I don't know, I tried to change God's mind on this. It's just not working. He's the Ancient of Days. He can do whatever He wants over however long He wants, but He chooses to come right up alongside of us. I want to give you another way of spelling relationship. Four letters. It's spelled R-I-S-K. And I'm going to give four words that are connected to R-I-S-K. Number one, R for real and honest. In relationships, we need to be real and we need to be honest. You enjoy hanging out with people who are real and who are honest. And you love to listen to comedy, which is often completely real and completely honest. We love that. And that's because in relationship, there must be a realness, an authenticity, and an honesty. So letter R stands for what? Real and honest. Okay. The letter I stands for invest more than you withdraw. Invest more than you withdraw. It's very hard to withdraw from an empty bank account. You have to go into overdraft. Everyone gets anxious. You get anxious. But if you have more deposits than withdrawals, then what's happening? Increase. And when you need to make a withdrawal, you can call a friend and say, I really need today. I need to make a sizable withdrawal. What do you mean? I really need help today. Healthy relationships where you've been investing more than you're withdrawing means that you have capacity when you need it to draw on. But if you are only a needy person that's withdrawing all the time, guess how much relationship you're going to have? Very minimal. In fact, what you will get is sympathy. What you will get is a handout. What you will get is a, I feel sorry for you. That is not where you're called to live. You are called to thrive in relationship. I want to say that again. You are called to thrive in relationship. Ooh. So the I in the word risk stands for? Have a think this afternoon. Which relationships in your life should you do more investment in? Because that's your base from which you flow out from. And it's the base from which you retreat to when you need a top up. God created you for relationship. Invest more than you withdraw. And you can be creative on that. Just a little insight for Mia and my relationship. Mia's primary love language is, it's changed over time. But from the beginning, it's pretty much been quality time. Hey, honey. Gifts are right up there, but doesn't trump quality time. My greatest resource lack. Is the very precious commodity that the heart of my wife longs for. Not to come from anyone else on the planet but me. God is such a creative God, isn't he? Like, he puts us in these situations and he causes us to slow down on purpose so that we have to work at relationship. So just be encouraged today. You will feel like King Solomon and say, I feel like a very small person. I don't know what to do and I don't know how to function in relationship. That is a common feeling. Everyone, just be at ease. God knows that you are dysfunctional. Oh, you can't say that in church, Andrew. That's a bit rough. No, we are dysfunctional in relationship. We are completely self-absorbed. We're looking out for number one pretty much the whole time unless we remind ourselves from the word that, oh, that's right, there is someone other than me. What a thought. Okay, we're down to the letter S. Are you leaning in? Safe boundaries in relationship. You create safety for the other person in that relationship. As soon as you start to do some weird, crazy things that people don't feel safe around, and I'm not talking about challenging. Love is supposed to be challenging. But I'm talking about you do weird stuff in relationship, it's not going to increase. You have to be creating safe places where people can begin to feel safe with you in relationship. And that is not a wussy type of safety, like, I don't want to upset you. Love is tough. Love is tough. We've got to have the tough conversations. But the Bible says, speak the truth in love, and love creates security. So, safe boundaries for the S. Okay, the letter K. It's a basic one, but it's pretty important. Keep secrets confidential. Keep secrets confidential. Do you know what is the power of friendship? The power of friendship is on the basis that you can share your secrets with your friend and they're not going to go and blurb them out to everyone else. You're a good friend. So keep secrets. I want to just shared that the Lord has secrets that he's wanting to share with you if you slow down to listen. That you can't have friendship with him when you're running at too fast a pace. In fact, anxiety and living in a constant state of anxiety will stop you almost completely from hearing and listening. I just can't hear God. Yeah, slow down. Even the doctors have it right. Oh, I'm really sick. What do I need to do? Rest. Oh, I've done that before. Doesn't seem to work. Rest. In fact, the Lord said to me, the secret for 2024 is rest. Rest will bring out the best. And I loved what Gary Morgan said at our Jubilee celebration this year, which was faith, which is another word for risk, faith is actively resting in the presence of God. Ah, say it again. Faith is active resting. Active participation and resting in the presence of the Lord. Just close your eyes and just stretch out a hand of faith, and it's almost like you're going to lay a hold of the Lord in his presence and just say, I am secure in your presence, Lord. I don't have to worry when I'm with you. Help me to walk with you. Help me to take the risk in relationship. And it is. Relationship is a risk. Psalm 25, verse 14 says, the secret of the friendship of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show him his covenant. Ah. There is a risk in relationship, but there is also a reward. Let's go for transfer rather than transaction. Let's stand up and... I think it was a good word, Andrew. Well done. Yes. Jesus, right on 12 o'clock. I don't know what to do here, really, other than just a worship team, just to pick something around 60 beats per minute. There's three things. Number one, check in with your speed with the Lord. Just do some thinking. And so, when was the last time I slowed down to have time with you? Number one. Number two is a connection with your own heart. And this is something that I feel like I'm only learning at 46. I wish I had this at 20. That when we slow down, we connect with the Lord, but you know, you actually connect with your own heart as much as you connect with the Lord. I can't explain this, but I want to understand this more. But when I connect with the Lord, I actually connect with my own heart. Sometimes I've connected with my own heart and found myself connecting with the Lord. And so let's have some time this morning where you begin to just acknowledge, where am I at? Where is my heart at? Where am I at? And begin to give room, permission to your own heart to slow down and to connect with your own heart. Just put your hand on your heart. You say, I give myself permission to connect with my own heart. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, show me anything that's disconnecting me from my own heart. So ask the Lord now. I'm just going to have some time. You can respond if you'd like to come out. Lord, what will help me connect at the speed of relationship? He will whisper to you. Your own heart will whisper to you. Thank you, Lord. We just take this time. Just ask him again, Lord. What do I need to connect? Now I want you to ask a question to the Lord. How much time do you have for me, Lord? How much time do you have for me, Lord? Woo. All right. Now look up. That's enough heart connection. What we're going to do now, we're going to walk through the room, and what we're actually going to do is unpack this whole thing by ministering to one another. And this is what we're going to do. We're just going to go around the room. We're just going to say, I want to give you permission. We're going to minister. We're going to be the Lord to one another today. And we're going to give permission to one another to travel at the speed of relationship and to create a room. Just say, I declare room over you. I declare space over you to connect in relationship. And I bless relationships in your life. I bless the key relationships in your life. I bless your marriage. I bless your children. Let's do that, okay? So everyone look at me. You've had some own heart connection time. You got more in the morning. You can have some more after church. But let's go around one to another and take some time to eyeball a few people and just minister to one another and say, I give you permission to grow in relationships, okay? And then just declare it, just speak it out. And we're all in the same boat. Has anyone mastered this? No, not yet. So don't feel you're inadequate. So let's just activate, stand up, go to another heart in the room, and just begin to speak a few words. I give you permission. I declare space for relationship. I declare you are going to grow in this area of relationship. Declare relationship increase. I release you to travel at the speed of relationship, Bailey. Thank you, Lord. Ooh. Scott. I declare a flourishing of relationships over you. I declare space over you for building relationship. Put your learners on, Scotty. You're going to learn to do relationship. Growth, growth, growth. I give you permission. I give you permission. Relationship. We were created for relationship. You guys have a song?